Good morning, and welcome to the radio program, which is brought to you by Christians who meet at Main Street Church of Christ. We meet at 240 West Main Street in downtown Mount Sterling, Kentucky, right in front of what used to be the old library. On Sunday mornings, we meet at 10 a.m., and we have a worship service, a Bible class. We have a Bible class that normally goes until about 10:45, and then we break for about 15 minutes, and then get back together to worship until noon. Sunday evenings, we meet at 6 p.m., and the first Sunday of each month is our song night, which you're, of course, welcome to come and sing with us. Wednesday evenings, we meet at 7 p.m. for a Bible class. Right now, we're studying Bible basics. We're applying some Bible basics to some kind of controversial, some difficult questions from Scripture. And you're welcome to come to that class as well. You can also check us out online at www.mtsterlingchurch.com. You can email us at mtsterlingchurch@icloud.com. Or you can give me a phone call. My name is Tom, and my phone number is area code 859-432-0369. That rings right to my pocket, and I would be glad to help you out with anything that I can. If I don't answer immediately, leave me a message, because I usually get back to you within a day. That's 859-432-0369. This morning, I think I'm going to do something we haven't done in a little while, and play quite a few songs. Some of them I might stop and have some commentary about, because some of these hymns that we sing have a lot of story, and sometimes there are personal stories, and of course there are scripture that these songs are based on. So that's what we're going to do this morning, and one of the first of those hymns that we're going to listen to is Holy, 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 which, other than being a hymn of praise, is a pretty significant hymn based on some pretty significant scripture. For example, in Revelation chapter 4, there is this scene in which John sees a vision of the throne room in heaven. And around this throne room are all kinds of magnificent creatures, four living creatures that are just really difficult to even describe. You could read this for yourself. This is Revelation 4, 6 through 8. Really difficult to describe, to even picture. I mean, what he was seeing must have been incredible. But the focus of the scene was not the creatures, nor the 24 elders that were surrounding the scene. It was the Lord on his throne. So impressive was the Lord that all of these magnificent creatures and all of these 24 heroes of faith, no doubt, through their crowns down and throughout the eternity, day and night, never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord our God Almighty, who was and is to come." And in verse 11, it continues, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." Furthermore, the hymn that we sing, "Holy, holy, holy," has some passages that... references some passages that continue in the book of Revelation. it really pulls from what is this new song that sometimes we talk about. There is actually even a song about the new song, and the line that I'm referencing is, "We sing in heaven a new song of Moses and the Lamb." And that song references back to the song that Moses sang on exiting Egypt, and of course the song here from Revelation. But one of the other places that this song kind of references is in chapter 15 of Revelation. This new song that we will one day sing in eternity is right here sung about the throne room of God. So this is chapter 15, and the end of verse 3 begins where this song begins. "Great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed." Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Let's go ahead and listen to this song. The next song is one that we sing as an invitation, and for good reason. We sing this song, "Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?" because it's a question that people have misunderstood for a long time. Some of the earliest Christians were quickly accused of things like cannibalism because of the practice of taking the Lord's Supper and the way that we talk about baptism. This is a long time ago, of course, in the Roman Empire, but it was one of the accusations for which Christians died. And people misunderstood the idea of being washed in the blood of the Lamb. They took it to be some kind of physical sacrifice, something that was given up and poured on people. And that's a great misunderstanding of what it actually is. Being washed in the blood of the Lamb, as Romans 6 describes, is even an interaction with your heart and God's Word. So you're baptized into salvation in water, and you rise from that water to walk in newness of life, just like Christ died and was buried in the earth and rose from the dead. And that way we participate with his death. We come in contact with his blood in a manner that is spiritual and not physical, and in a manner that saves.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Savior's side, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood?
In the blood,
in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the stained with sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Are you washed
in the blood?
In the blood,
in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless?
I'm in the glory land, glory land way. I'm in trust is resting in Christ God's only Son. On Him I am now building, in tribulation trusting.
In a largely destructive prophecy, Isaiah spent some time speaking about God's nature as a shelter for Israel. It may seem counterintuitive that the same God who was going to destroy them was also going to be their shelter, but I want you to listen to what Isaiah wrote about God as a shelter and think about it in context of another passage here that we'll just sort of reference. But Isaiah 26 and verse 1 says, "In that day this song shall be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up salvation as walls and bulwarks. Open the gates, that the righteous nation that keeps faith may enter. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. For he has humbled the inhabitants of the height, the lofty city. He lays it low, lays it to the ground, casts it to the dust. The foot tramples it, the feet of the poor, the steps of the needy." Isaiah then went on to discuss the path of the righteous and the Lord's interaction with those who seek him in distress. In verse 16, he said, "O Lord, in distress they sought you. They poured out a whispered prayer when your discipline was upon them. Like a pregnant woman who writhes and cries out in her pangs when she's near giving to birth, so we are because of you, O Lord. We were pregnant, we writhe, but we have given birth to wind. We have accomplished no deliverance on the earth, and the inhabitants of the world have fallen away. Your dead shall live, their bodies shall rise. You who dwell in dust, awake and sing for joy, for your dew is a dew of light, and the earth will give birth to the dead." Now, Isaiah discusses this fact that in the distress of the discipline of Israel, they cried out to the Lord and that they received the promise of life from him. It's a kind of a complex chapter, I think, Isaiah 26. You know, it ends, again on the note of God's punishment and God's destruction. But nonetheless, the constant theme throughout the chapter is that God is the same as he always has been. He is a rock. Verse 4 literally says it, "The Lord is an everlasting rock." And that applies in so many ways to so many scriptures. Just to list a few, his everlasting nature, he's been the same. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. His promises are everlasting. They don't change. He doesn't go back on them. And they come to pass perfectly, despite whether or not we see it or can comprehend it. But also, there's a passage in Exodus, chapter 33, where God showed Moses a side of him and hid him in the cleft of a rock to protect him from dying at seeing God's glory. This is really the same image that God has with Israel and with Christians. God seeks unity with man, and man should seek unity with God. Approaching God in our current form would kill every last one of us. None of us would survive that experience. He's far too awesome. Not only that, but we are separated from him by the gulf of sin that we have put between him and ourselves. However, being the eternal rock that he is, God has provided a way for us to come to him and be with him for eternity, to be rooted on the rock on which a kingdom was built, that kingdom which would withstand any assault, even the gates of hell itself. That kingdom is his church, the vehicle for getting people to heaven. To enter that church is simple. Read through Scripture yourself and see if what I'm saying is true. But passages like Acts 2, 1 Peter 3, Romans 6, and many others teach that in faith we obey, in baptism we're immersed in water, and we rise to walk in newness of life. And I love Romans 6 especially because it says, as Christ rose from the dead and we rise from the water, so we too one day will rise from the dead to go live with God for eternity. Let's listen to Rock of Ages, and that will be the conclusion of our program.
Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy rib inside which flow be a sin, the double cure. Say